Well, last week at the service, we talked about how we looked at this Bread of Life series, this understanding of Jesus as the bread of life for life, through the lens of what? There's one over there somewhere. I had it out. No? Small Catechism. Remember, we looked at page 1160 in the hymnal, and that was the Small Catechism. We looked at it from a Lutheran perspective. So here we are again in this section where we hear the words again. I am the living bread, came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. It's a bold pronouncement. I'm sure they didn't quite understand it when he was saying it then. But what's he saying? I'm going to die for you. I'll prove the depth of my love. We looked at it from the Lutheran Catechism perspective, Small Catechism. If you missed it, by the way, Bill records now, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Bill, every service is automatically recorded, or the 8 o'clock in the morning was. It's okay. It automatically records by computer, and then he can download the sermon and get it online from that. But it's all automatic now, so good thing it's tomorrow morning. We won't hear all the goofs I just made. Anyway, we hear at the very next verse here, the Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So when we think about that, I want us to look at it this week from a Gospel of John perspective. We've heard this in not just John, but some other places as we've gone through this Bread of Life time. A Johannine perspective, we call it. And John is different. Yeah? Anybody who's done any looking at Scripture, we don't even have to be a great professor to realize that John is different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels. They run a parallel story, kind of through Jesus' life, a synoptic point of view. John is prose. John is a whole lot different. It was Luther's favorite gospel, by the way. But we look at this, I want us to look at it as John does, and different just a bit. Oftentimes, when we think bread or life, I wonder if we don't think about those in two different categories. In other words, bread or life. We tend to accentuate one of the two in our life that we live today. We tend toward thinking about, on one hand, focusing our efforts on our time, our planning. How do we accumulate things? We need more bread, all right? Might be one thing. We think we need more things in the category of bread categories. We need more money. If I just had more money, if I had more prestige, I don't know, maybe if I had more confidence, if I just had more friends or more beauty or more praise or more respect, a dear reference to the Queen of Soul, respect. If we just had more. We're searching for more, it seems, all the time in the areas of what might be considered bread things, all right? Do I have enough of these things? We also need, perhaps we're thinking, more in life things. Now, life things, as we think about those, or as I tried to put them into something we could relate to, more safety. I just feel insecure. You know, this world is happening all around us, and I just feel unsafe times. More longevity in our life. We can think about these categories when we simply watch a little television. There's going to be an ad on there asking us, thinking we need to eat more bread things. If I just had that new truck, all right? If I had this or I had that. Or how many commercials out there about getting us to eat healthier, or to live healthier, or to do these things. So in this category, longevity in our life, more health. And even if you watch closely in our culture today, secular world uses church language all the time. Find shalom. Find a safe place. Find sacristy. Just watch for it. They're using our language, and we, the church, should be claiming it, I believe, as well. But focusing one way or another misses the Johannine thought process, and And I suggest it misses Jesus' whole point. Focusing on one or the other misses the point. And the emphasis is bread as life. And this life that Jesus offers is participation in that life in all its fullest. We're going to sing a favorite communion hymn of mine today. And as you do that, when we come up to take the bread and the wine, look at the verses. And I think the verses at least get to a Johannine perspective. They are, let us break bread, let us break bread together on our knees. When we drink wine together, let us drink wine together on our knees. There's a communal aspect to that. When we live communally, joined in life by sharing in the one bread, Jesus, for who is he for us to hoard? I got my little bread of Jesus. You better go get your own. Then we're getting that bread or life stuff. You see what I'm saying? We can find that having the other things that we think we need more of, these things become less important. Because there's no need to compete for, no need to compete for something that is offered to us all. Bread for life. Jesus for life. As Jesus told them, he also tells us now. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Now, did you notice in there, for the life of what? Life of you, PK. No, it's PK and Kathy and Janine and Joe and Dale. Life of the world. Jesus comes that there's life for the whole world. And that gets to that famous John text, that whoever believes in him shall not die, but have eternal life. God sent his only Son for the world. As I mentioned last week, when we read from Luther's Small Catechism, a major thrust of the Reformation being that we are either all worthy, in God's eyes, or none of us are worthy, to eat of this meal, to claim this Jesus, to come to the table, as it were, to ingest the gift that is Jesus Christ. And sometimes I wonder if we don't take it for granted, having a place at the table. And that's when I think we need to be reminded that many of us, none of us rather, have any right or privilege to claim to be with God. We come as beggars, as Luther said, his dying words, surely we are all beggars, relying on the gift in the person of Jesus Christ. So we come as beggars to the table, and it is solely by God's grace that we're fed. But then we need to also be reminded that God's table is immeasurably larger than we can imagine. Now in our setting, we see it here, and it's that visual reminder, but he's bread for the world. God's Son Jesus' love for the world. Other scripture points to look at the Syrophoenician woman begging for crumbs. Now, Jesus didn't leave her beggarless, without love. And he sets us at the table and claims us as God's children, children from every tribe and every language and nation. And that's a point we need to remember. Even crumbs from the table would be enough for our healing and our salvation. And they're for everyone. Jesus has given more than enough. He sets an abundant, life-giving feast for us all in this life and beyond. Bread of life for life. You see, John has something different in mind with the phrase eternal life. And stick with me a little bit here. In these texts and statements of Jesus, we need to realize that this life is available to believers in the present, not only in the future. So we eat of Jesus' bread and we claim our salvation and think about all that Reformation stuff and we think, I'm cleared, I'm going to heaven. You miss a Johannine point. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, he says. And very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. The verbs are present tense in the Greek. In the language that Jesus was speaking, the life Jesus brings begins now. during the life of a believer and beyond. In calling this eternal, John lets us know that life Jesus offers is very different from regular human life. Eternal or forever is a characteristic, Scripture points out, it's a characteristic that belongs to the divine. Eternal life is for the divine. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever, Psalm 29. You pick a place in Scripture. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, Psalm 32. It's God's work alone, and this is a major tenet of the Reformation as well, that properly possesses this quality, not ours. Now, see how that links back to the Reformation? If we try to claim that we have some right to divinity, claim our own righteousness, we're working toward works righteousness, right? It's a slippery slope, Luther pointed out. But we are made righteous only through the gift of Jesus' death and resurrection. We are made righteous through the salvific act of Jesus' death and resurrection, not which we think we do or we think we need to do. But Jesus is telling us that those who trust in him, believe in him, walk with him as he so desires, eat of his flesh, participate with him, have life in the divine and now. He later says, I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. That's in John 10:10, and I'm sure we'll get to it yet this season. He's saying something similar there. Those who abide with him share in the creative force of God who brought all things into being. This life is embedded in Jesus. So, hone this all together. What I'm hoping we're seeing is that searching for everything else outside of Christ, outside of the church, is gonna leave us hungry. Hungering for more. But when we come together, we think about these weeks of our series of Bread of Life, I hope we can understand the bread of life is for life, and it starts now. We ingest Jesus then for a purpose. We take and eat in community, and we are all sharing in this meal together. And in community then, through the miracle of the sacrament, as Luther would point out, with Christ in, under, and with the bread and wine, as Christ deems it so, we then become the body of Christ. God's hands. But it's through God's work that we become God's hands. This is life together as Bonhoeffer would have us remember it. This is Jesus' life. I'm hard-pressed to find singularity in Scripture, singular understanding, unless it comes to individual sinfulness. But the reality of it is, it's mostly plural. So whatever, remember that when we do receive, when we come, the way of understanding how God's love is known to us in the forgiveness of sin is bread of life for life. It can almost be a transcript for the body of Christ given for you. You know, we don't just stop after one person, right? We almost have to imagine in our mind that when we were handing out communion, there would be an eternal line of folks who would be coming after we're done. Bread of life for life. And can we imagine that? Think of who has knelt at this table before us. The hundreds and hundreds, thousands of people who have been fed at this table. We are a continuation in that line. But that line doesn't end. Bread of life for life, now and beyond. So when we come and sing, we sing that continuing hymn. Let us now break bread together on our knees. Well, we'll do that in Lent and Advent, but not now. Let us break bread together. And continue to condition the tradition of being the body of Christ. Let us drink wine together on our knees. Let us ingest Christ. And then let us be the body of Christ here and beyond. Amen.